like to greet us in Christ's name this morning. I appreciate the opening that Kevin shared about standing out, standing forth in the world today. It, I think goes well with the message this morning. I'd like to talk about integrity this morning. Integrity is something that I think is being lost in the world today. The dictionary gives it as the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. There's five core values often associated with integrity. The first one is honesty. This involves telling the truth and being sincere in words and actions, refraining from misleading others. And number two is trust, a commitment to being reliable and dependable, allowing others to believe and rely on you. Number three, fairness, treating everyone equitably and justly, ensuring no bias or unfair practices influence decision or action. Number four, respect, valuing and showing consideration for other people and their ideas, fostering an environment of mutual esteem. And number five, responsibility, taking ownership of one's behavior, actions, and commitments, including learning from our mistakes. You know, it's a true honesty is being lost in the world today. Back when we lived in Tennessee, we had a neighbor stop into the farm just to visit. And this visiting there, he was talking about this course he was taking, finances. And he said, one thing they teach there is if you want to get ahead in life, you have to cheat a little once in a while. And that's what they were teaching in this financial course. Well, that is not biblical. It's not biblical. I'd like to look at a few verses here in the Bible that talks about honesty. We're not going to cover near all the verses. Romans 12:17, the last part of the verse says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, what does all men include? It says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Go back to Leviticus chapter 19. We see that the Lord was speaking to Moses here. They were getting their do's and don'ts, so to speak. In verse 35 through 37, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in met yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephod, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them. I am the Lord. And then we go to Romans 13. Verse 12 through 14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And then going to Ephesians chapter 4. There's 23 and 25. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 18 through 21. And we have sent him with him his brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. Then we have that verse in Philippians chapter 4, the well-known verse. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there any virtue, if any praise, think on these things. And in Proverbs 11 it says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So you see there's much in the Bible about honesty, being upright. There's a lot more verses we could have read. You know, it's but true honesty really stands out in the world today. There's a lot of dishonesty going on. Back when Dad bought his last blue van he had, we took the papers into the title indicated, changed over. And somehow between the time we left Walnut Ridge, got a little rocky, got lost somewhere. And Dad did not think about that title, never came back. So a year later, time for get his tags renewed, he did not get a notice. And so it was sometime after that, how long it was, it's over a month, I noticed that his tags were expired. So I went in to get things straightened out. And they asked the question, did you drive this van while the tags were expired? And I said, yes. So they handed me a paper. Well, you signed this paper, so you didn't sign it, you didn't drive it, you had to pay a fine. So they were giving me the opportunity to lie right in front of them. They knew I drove it, and that they were giving me that chance to lie. I could lie about it. I don't know whether they expected me to sign a paper or not. But I decided whether to pay a fine. So, but that is what's going on today. And there are a lot of people that like to cheat in their taxes. I've been confronted with different times in buying vehicles or trailers. A lot of people ask the question, should we put the full amount down on the title you paid for it, or put a less down so you had to pay taxes? Now, there are a lot of people doing that. They just put down, instead of paying $10,000, they'll put maybe $6,000 down so that when they go title changed over, they can save on taxes. Is that providing things honest in the sight of all men? No, it's not. Matthew 22 says that we should render to Caesar what are Caesar's, and to God what are God's. I know there are a lot of people talk about their taxes. We pay too many taxes. The government doesn't use it right, and we shouldn't pay the taxes as much. But the Bible doesn't say that we should tell the government how to use their taxes. It just says we should pay the taxes. So. But there's lots of dishonesty going on in the world today. And how would you like to be treated if someone owes you money? You want them to treat you like people treat the tax people? Or would you like to have them pay them in full? You know, the golden rule says, do unto others as you have them do unto you. So this is, in Galatians it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And whatever we sow in life, that's what we're going to reap. So what do you want to reap in your life? I'd like to look at some examples in the Bible of some men of integrity. The first one is by the 1 Kings 13. Start reading verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 13. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith thou, O Lord, behold, a child to be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burst upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so he could not pull it into him again. The altar was also rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand restored him again, and became as he was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thy house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So here a man was, he's going to stand on what God told him. He was not going to deviate from it. He was going to do what God said. But I never noticed in verse 11, Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way he went the man of God, which came from Judah. And he said to his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under the oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water, there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Here again, we notice the same message. I can't go with you. God said no, and I cannot go back. God said, don't eat or drink there. So, but then we noticed in verse 18, he said to him, I am prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spoke unto me by the way of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. Here we see that a man was deceived by another man that supposedly said he was a prophet. The angel spoke to him, and so he went back. Well, we know what happened. Well, after he ate and drank, there in verse 20, and it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried to the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept his commandment, which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread, drank water, in the place of the which the Lord said, Say to thee, Eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come to the sepulchre of thy fathers. Well, we know the story how that on his way home he was killed by a lion. He never did get home. But, you know, as much as he wanted to obey God's word, he was deceived by another man, another old prophet that lied to him. And I think that's something we can be careful as we go through life, as we rub shoulders with business people around us. Even though, you know, sometimes there's some people can have a supposedly a rosy testimony, you know, they can really talk good. And yet their life does not necessarily come up to God's word. So we need to be careful that we don't just follow their way of doing, but we need to make sure that it compares with God's word, that it is based on the Bible. And also I'd like to go back to Genesis 39, look at the life of Joseph, see a man here of real integrity. Genesis chapter 39. Okay, verses 1 through 6. We know that Joseph was sold, his brothers sold him, and they brought him to Egypt. It said, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, and he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake, and blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat, and Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And here was this, Joseph was bought here, and because of his integrity, and he was able to earn the favor of Potiphar here. And he said he turned everything over to Joseph. He didn't even know what he had except the bread he ate. That's how much he trusted him. Then we know the story of how his wife got Joseph in prison, tempting him, and he did not yield, and so he ended up in prison. In verse 20, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in his sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatsoever they did there, he was a doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Here again, Joseph was put in prison, and again he was doing his best. He could have felt sorry for himself. I think somehow he just made up his mind he's going to serve God no matter what. Because of his integrity, his honesty, and doing what he knew was right, they trusted him. And he put everything in his, said he didn't know, he looked not at anything that was under his hand. Then in chapter 41. Well, notice when he was in prison, the king put some more prisoners, the butler and the baker, and put in prison. And they had their dreams, and then Joseph interpreted these dreams. And then in verse 14, after he interpreted the dream, he said, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of the house. Now, I don't think Joseph would enjoy being in prison, but he was there, and he was still doing his best where he was at, and yet he had a desire to get out. And in we notice that when the chief butler was restored, he forgot about Joseph. And then in verse 41, chapter 41, in verse 1 it says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Uh, and noticed that he had a dream here, and he couldn't find anybody to interpret it. And then all of a sudden, the butler all thought about it. You know, I know a man that can get your dream, interpret your dream. There's a man in jail there, and he told him about the dreams they had, and how he interpreted the dreams, and the dreams came true just like you said. So they sent after Joseph, and they got him out. And in verse 15 of 41, it says, "And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." You know, Joseph could take some glory here. Said, "Yeah, I can interpret your dream, sure." But notice it said in verse 16, "And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give me Pharaoh. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." You know, God. Joseph was giving God the glory for this. He was. It wasn't him that was doing it. It was God was doing it through him. Then we go into chapter 45. Notice that during the drought that Joseph was put in charge, and Pharaoh, after he had interpreted the dream, he put in charge of taking care of the corn and put him next to Pharaoh. You know, only in the throne that he was greater than what Joseph was. And this is quite a change from Joseph's life, coming out of prison into that position. You know, he had kept his integrity through all this, and it stood out, and it meant something to Pharaoh. And he needed someone to take care of his people. You know, God had took these steps. God needed somebody in Egypt to take care of this stuff when the drought came, and he wanted Joseph there, and so that's what he took Joseph through, you know, step by step. Some of the steps didn't seem very pleasant, but now God had Joseph where he wanted him. And then notice how his brothers came to get corn. Another story of how that went. And in chapter 45 of when he made himself known, it says, "Then Joseph," in verse 1 of chapter 45, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold to Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be ear nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." So notice here that Joseph, as you look back, he's seen this was God that was bringing him through all this. God knew, and he was giving God the glory for it. And he forgave his brothers. You know, it wasn't you that sent me here. God sent me here. This is... You know, there's times we go through things that we don't really understand, you know, why we had to go through all this. And yet, God has a purpose in it. For some reason, you know, some things we need to go through sometimes, you know, to strengthen us or whatever. You know, God sees a big picture. God knows what he needs in the future. And sometimes he takes us through some things to prepare us for what he has for us later. So let's just trust him. To see us through and guide us and keep on living a life of integrity and letting God work in our life. You know, we also we look at Daniel. There's many others we look at too. When the princes were trying to find fault with Daniel, they said they could not fault any fault in him. Here was a man, they just couldn't find any fault with him. He was a just man, an honest man, And there was no fault on him. The only thing we can do if you find fault with is God. And so that's what they did. But notice also that God took care of him as the, so there's, there's many other examples we could talk about in the Bible. There's different people in the Bible that we could talk about. I'd just like to, you know, challenge us, you know, can we be like Daniel? Does our life, do we live in a world where we are without fault, so to speak, that people can say that here's an honest man, here's someone that has integrity, somebody that is living for God? I'd like to read a couple verses yet in closing here in 1 John 2. Verse 5 and 6. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Are we walking like Christ walked? And in James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Are we doing what we know is right? Are we serving a God? Are we letting God rule our lives? And are we willing to serve wherever we can? So let's just stand out in the world today. You know, don't deviate from the things of the Bible, from being honest and even though we rub shoulders with a lot of people that are dishonest, let's remember that let's provide things honest in the sight of all men. Shall we stand for prayer?